From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 654, Mobile Device Manager in 2019 with guest Jeremy Moskowitz. Recorded Thursday, August 29th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back one of my favorites today, Jeremy Moskowitz, who's now a 15-year Microsoft MVP awardee and is the founder of MDM and GPAnswers.com and PolicyPack Software. That's at PolicyPack.com. Been a regular advertiser on Run As for some time now. He's a nationally recognized authority on group policy, MDM, Intune, and Windows 10 management. And he's got best-selling books, one on group policy and one on mobile device management. He's a sought-after speaker and trainer at many industry conferences, and in his training workshops helps thousands of administrators every day to do more to manage Windows 10. Contact Jeremy and learn about his books by visiting www.mdmandgpanswers.com or more about the software at policypack.com. Welcome back, friend.
Thank you. Thank you. It is great to be back yet again.
Yeah. You know, it's... Mobile devices aren't going away. We need to manage them. There's just more of them, not fewer.
Well, there's certainly more interesting kinds of Windows out there, right? I mean, so like beyond iPhones and beyond, you know, Androids and stuff, it turns out like even in the Windows world, there's all sorts of very interesting new Windows-y form factors. There's like Windows 10S, which is the security lockdown-y Windows 10S mode, I guess, is really what it's officially called.
And is it like 64-bit only as well?
Well, not only is it 64-bit only, but it's also restricted to stuff that you can download from the store.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
S could be secure or S could be store, depending on how you look at it.
Right. Yeah, good point.
It does give you a one-way trip if you're interested up to like Pro or Enterprise. But then if you don't decide you want it, you have to F disk to get back to S mode.
You'd want to be in S mode, like, just that, then you don't have to worry about that machine. Like, that machine's kind of pristine. But it very much reminds me of what iPad had going for it in the early days, was that there was only one source of apps, and that was a vetted source. And so there was a whole vector of exploits that was eliminated that way.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, Windows 10S isn't going to be for you know, everybody. It's certainly, I have not seen it out in the wild in the enterprise, but I do see that there's some advantage. Like, by way of example, maybe, you know, when you're renting like a tablet from an airplane, maybe that machine is in Windows 10S mode, and that's going to be needing to be managed some way, because that sucker is probably not domain joined.
Yeah, probably not.
And that's going to be an issue. And that's where MDM helps with all sorts of new Windows devices. So you've got like Windows 10 in S mode, you've got like HoloLens, you've got Windows on ARM. So there are all sorts of new Windowsy things that need some way to get some attention. And Microsoft's attention for that is by showering it with some love around MDM.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great plan. I've also come to appreciate that the phone is now the general purpose computer. And I'm finding that more and more PCs are actually specialized machines. They're for specific tasks, but your general work is being done from the phone.
I'm not that guy.
No.
I know people who can use the phone like and be like book an airplane ticket on their phone or whatever. I am definitely not that guy. And my area of expertise and where I focused my attention in the book was mostly around Windows. And how MDM now is sort of a newer cousin to group policy. I give a whole lot of props to people who are doing MDM already with phones of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm not the kind of guy that can walk around with an iPhone or an Android or whatever and be ultra productive. I think, you know, maybe for some times in some circumstances, but for me, I think real business still happens on real Windows.
Yeah, and on real machines with real size keyboards and real size displays. That to me is the biggest thing, right? It's like I've still to this day have moments where it's like, I'm going to save that piece of work until I'm on my 40-inch screen. when I have all the real estate that I want.
And that's true. I think we're going to find that over the very long haul, we might see, and there are some, directives for these phone manufacturers to like be able to have plug and play. I can't remember who they are, but you know, you plug them in and shabing, shabang, shaboom, you actually have like a micro Windows running on your phone that can dock into the thing. And then you've got a mouse. And I think it's a brave new world and one that probably will exist in 10 years, which is kind of nifty.
Yeah. Well, maybe faster than that. You know, time is tricky and things happen quickly sometimes. So tell me about the new book, because you've had books for a while now.
I have. In fact, the group policy edition is just the group policy book, which is called The Fundamentals, Security, and the Managed Desktop. That's been around for a long time, has gone through a lot of iteration, and is really big. And it should be, because group policy and domain join machines have been around for a really long time. So It's, 2019 as we write this, that's funny, as we record this. But as you'll remember, you know, Windows 2000 came out in, wait for it, 2000, right?
Yeah, oddly enough.
So therefore, it's been almost 20 years. And therefore, you know, everything around group policy that can be done, I tried to capture as much as I could in one big fat book. So what I've been recently awarded the MVP for enterprise mobility, which is the award category for the folks in the SCCM branch and also in the Intune branch and other areas right. Like that. Now for me, my focus in that capacity is in Intune, but also about the engine itself, about MDM, the engine, because to me, That is an interesting topic. So the idea behind the MDM engine is that, well, like we already talked about how like there's people already doing MDM for like an iPhone or an Android or an iPad. The engine is inside there, but now the engine is also inside Windows 10 itself. Now the engine actually existed since Windows 8, but we kind of pretend that didn't happen. The engine is really now in Windows 10. And this gives you sort of a one-stop shop lingua franca to be able to have a singular console to then be able to make a directive and say, phones do this, tablets do that, Windows do this. So there, it does open up some interesting new scenarios for management all around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is it really that different? Like what do people need to do to manage mobile devices? Why, what's special about them?
Well, the first thing that's special is that when you stood up an Active Directory or the Active Directory you already have, once you had it, you owned it. And like, that was it. Like you created it, you joined a machine to the domain, you created an OU, you moved a computer in and you made a group policy object and bickety bam, it just worked like a house on fire, right?
Right.
So people, that's how we remember it. It's actually quite a different model in MDM land. In MDM land, remember, it's sort of like the engine is free and it lives on the endpoint. And that endpoint, again, could be like an iPhone, an Android, and Windows. And again, all I really think about is the Windows part. So the engine, the MDM engine itself lives inside Windows 10. But how do you activate that engine? Well, right. That is where you get the free market of choice. And the free market of choice enables you to pick any number of MDM solutions that speak this special language called OMA URI and OMA MDM. So like they speak this sort of secret language you never really see. And your MDM provider of choice, and the three big ones out there would be like a Microsoft Intune, would be like a Workspace ONE from VMware, might be a MobileIron. Like those are the three big guys that I typically see. Although also Citrix CES is a big one too. Like they're out there, these MDM providers. And the idea is that when your computer is enrolled into MDM, you're now speaking the secret handshake and you're able to, from that console, make a directive. And that directive is directly placed over XML and HTTP, basically. So just bang onto that target machine and a little wish is generated from that source console directly to that machine to do the thing you want. Mm-hmm. You know, kill the control panel, turn off the GPS, whatever it is.
Nice. And that's sort of the keys to the whole thing, right? Is the cloud an essential part of this equation now, or can we still do this all on premises?
There are some MDM providers that you can buy on-prem. At some point, though, you have to talk out to the internet. For the book, I concentrated on Intune. I decided, right, like I had to put a stake in the ground somewhere. And I decided that Intune was going to be the place that I spent my quality time. Now, there are some areas of the book where I also decided to investigate some of the other ones because I have familiarity with all of them, but I'm mostly focused on Intune. But I did do some VMware Workspace ONE demonstrations in the book as well. So to answer your question directly, it seems that most of the MDM providers are either transitioning to either letting you do some stuff on-prem and making it all cloud-based, mm-hmm. or just going bang all the way to the cloud. You know, the other part about this that seems I think most people can find it very confusing is this distinction between a directory service or an MDM provider. Like,
right.
It's people seem to get it all mixed up in their head. Hmm. Like, I'll take a phone call from somebody. They're like, yeah, can you help me get my computers managed with Azure? And I'm like, that's not how that connects. Yeah. That's not how that works. So like that's you know, so there's a directory service that kind of holds the glue together. And when your computer joins, it doesn't really join the MDM service. It actually enrolls first into Azure AD, right. And then it goes backward into your MDM service that you've selected. So you kind of marry them on the back end. In fact, in Azure, there's like a pokety poke that you say, over there is my MDM service that I'm married to. And then when your computer enrolls in MDM land, that's really what's happening. It's going connecting to Azure AD, you're getting authenticated, and then it's going backward into MDM and making that join. And it doesn't have to be Azure AD, but that seems to be the one that most is popular.
Well, and yeah, identity first, always, right? Then services, whatever it may
be. But first, you got to know who they are first before you can say you're allowed in or get the heck out.
And I want you to take these patches and these are the policies that apply to you. Like all of that starts with identity.
Exactly right. And so I think like those two things kind of get smashed together as one thing, and people are like, "Oh, I'm going to do this Azure thing." Okay, how are you?
Does it come in a spray bottle? Can I squirt it on myself?
Exactly.
Yeah, people. Yeah, it's very funny, but yeah, I mean, cloud unto itself is nothing really anymore. It is the services you're buying, and obviously, again, it starts with identity for better or worse. Who was it that said identity is the new perimeter?
Oh, I don't know, but that guy should get a dollar.
Yeah, that's a good line. Yeah, he should get a nickel for every time we say it because it sure is a great statement.
I'm in with that one.
Yeah, and so first an identity, and then we'll figure things out from there. You just can't avoid it. It's the number one thing. People balk about Intune for, I think, desktops just because it adds up when you start having significant numbers.
Well, you know, I can't speak too much to the licensing area. I do know that Microsoft is doing a push to try to say, look, let's give you the bundle meal deal. And that's why they have this idea called, you know, Microsoft 365. And you can get not just Azure, not just Intune, but you also get Office. I'm sure that the pricing model works for some people. And of course, for other people, you know, it's a no-go. But, you know, I think what's also interesting is like, once you're in MDM land, it really is a different experience than group policy land. And there is a lot of stuff that is kind of the same and a lot of stuff that's kind of different. You know, for me, when I was kind of getting started on it, I really came to it at first with like a real group policy mindset. But then like I really decided, well, I better throw that out the window and try to understand it. You know, try to go with the grain as opposed to against the grain.
Right.
You know, so one of the things that I think is interesting is that, you know, group policy doesn't apply to groups. Try that one out for size. Yeah, that's always a fun one.
Wait. Hang on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about that because, you know, group's kind of in the name.
Yeah. So I asked the guy that like owns the patent on group policy, who doesn't work at Microsoft anymore.
Right.
And I was like, why did you call it group policy? And then we were talking over a beer like 15 years ago. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're just grouping together policy settings. I was like, facepalm.
Yeah.
Because like for me, I would have called, like if I could go back in time and like, you know,
when they were making that decision, you could have grabbed them by the collar and said, no.
Yeah. I would have called it Windows policy. Like to me, it should have been called Windows policy. Right. It's not called group policy, whatever, arose by any other name. You know, but like, you know, now so there's no group, you know, so there's no group in group policy. You can filter by groups, but you can't apply directly. Anyway, whole other story. But in Azure and MDM land, that is the unit of measurement.
Right.
You do roll things into groups. And so, like, you know, you have to sort of be aware that is there is no OU structure in Azure AD. It's a grouping thing, and you're applying not policies anymore. No, that'd be way too easy. You're applying this thing called profiles to groups.
Ah, great. So we have groups now. We just don't have policies anymore.
Well, there are settings. There are settings, and sometimes they call them policy settings, but they're really settings. And the settings
or
are
profiles.
Profiles, right? Profiles. And the profiles you smash onto groups. Yep. There's a lot of things that are, like that.
Yeah.
There is a concept of ADMX files in, of course, group policy, and there's a concept of ADMX files in MDM land. It's weird. What you do in group policy land is you consume an ADMX file.
Oh, right.
Consume. Yes. And if you want to do that same thing in MDM land, you call it ingesting.
Oh, so it's not consumed, but ingested.
No. Yes. And it's the same way where there's, it's not called windows anymore. They're panes.
Okay.
Or blades. That's what, blades. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I feel so much better.
Yes. Oh, yes. And that's okay. It's just vocabulary. But it does take some getting used to adjusting your group policy brain to, your MDM brain if that's where you want to go.
Right.
And MDM isn't for every situation, nor is necessarily group policy for every situation. But, if you're going to go there, you do need to kind of frame your brain. And what I try to do in the book as much as I can is to say, like, okay, I'm pretty sure you probably know how this goes in group policy land. Great. Now let's download some stuff, take it by the numbers, and like really tear it apart in MDM land, because like you have some hooks in your brain that we can use for that. Let's get you smarter in MDM land now.
But it strikes me that there's no perfect superset. Like, it's not one thing that would cover everything. They are different from each other and they overlap significantly, but not the same.
Yeah, in fact, it can be a real challenge. In fact, what we've seen is that people will. Well, okay. The basic gist is that, and I go over this in the book in excruciating detail, is that you sort of have to get jiggy with doing more with less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to go down the group policy route, okay, group policy gives you like thousands of bells and whistles. Like, there's like 5,000 ADMX settings that are all activated. There's about 10,000 permutations of group policy preferences. There's stuff you can suck in. There's third-party tooling that you can smash into group policy. So, like, there's a lot of stuff you can do there.
Sure.
And that's very valid for a lot of organizations that need fine-grained control. But if you're going to go down the MDM route, you sort of have to be down with the idea of doing more with less. It's sort of like those fruit and nut bars that have four ingredients on them.
Right.
Well, they're tasty. But they only have four ingredients, and like they're restricted in what you can do. And that is sort of MDM land. You shouldn't expect that you have every ingredient, because maybe not every ingredient makes any sense for the thing you're trying to do today.
Yeah, that's very reasonable.
So MDM is trying to enlighten or light up new scenarios for the way that people are trying to work today. You've of course heard of autopilot, and we could talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that there are these new scenarios, newfangled scenarios that didn't exist 20 years ago when group policy was born. MDM's job is to not try to reproduce every freaking group policy setting. But the challenge therein is that sometimes those settings are needed, and that's where some third-party tools like PolicyPack can help bridge the gap.
And Jeremy, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source of the best information for SQL Server from real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, cloud, as well as the new features in the latest version of SQL Server 2019. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, November 18 to 21. Use code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at SQLintersection.com. See you there. And we're back. This is Richard Campbell. That's Jeremy Moskowitz. We're on RUNAS Radio, talking a little mobile device management and this sort of consensus around trying to get all these things managed together. the only downside I ever had with group policy is that it was Active Directory bound. And so there was a certain level of overhead to it that just seemed unreasonable on mobile devices.
And that is a fair and valid point. I mean, there's really two dings against it. Mm-hmm. One is that you're right. It was never, you know, the internet didn't really exist 20 years ago in the same way. I mean, it did, but not really the same. And so it was bound to Kerberos and SMB in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense when you're over like your 2G and 3G and, you know, hopefully 5G. But if you're over 2G and 3G or whatever it is, it's not the right thing.
So it's a sad policy bundle. That's going to make you grumpy.
Say again?
That's a sad policy bundle you've got to haul there.
Yeah, it's too much to download. I mean, it was meant for the age of Ethernet where things were fixed. And it does work great over laptops and traveling laptops. Like it does work fine in that capacity. But the other thing that it's sort of missing is, like I said, that kind of lingua franca across this idea of new things that we haven't thought of, haven't come out yet from different vendors that may not be Microsoft. So, like, of course, there's the iPad and the iPhone and the Android and the Chromebook and the Windows 10S and the whatever. But maybe there's going to be a brain scan device. Who knows? And, like, that can have an MDM engine in it. And that MDM engine can, like, be managed from a unified console. Like, I see the validity in having this kind of lingua franca, this low bandwidth requirement language that we can speak and have a unified console that even if it's not the same password setting across your brain scan device versus your Android versus your Windows versus your iPad, even though they're different password settings, at least you have a one-stop shop to say, like, oh, for my brain scan devices, I want to do this. For my iPad devices, I want to do this. For my Windows devices, I want to do this. Like, I do see validity there.
I am in the process of looking for HoloLens 2 commercial customers to do some case studies around for shows. Because, you know, just to make HoloLens 2 a real product that we just talk about and companies are using.
Okay.
And one of the conversations has to be the device management of that. It's a different kind of device, but it does feel like these modern tools are prepared for that.
They are. That's sort of the point. I mean, the HoloLens definitely has the MDM engine built in, and you can enroll a HoloLens device. And I don't know exactly what features a HoloLens might have associated with it, but some things you'll be able to tweak in what's called a first class way, and then other things you would do in what's called a third class way.
Right.
So first class way is like when you're in your MDM console, you'll see there are all of these knobs and whistles and, you know, sliders and checkboxes, like the thing you kind of remember from your clickety click through group policy land. Right. You click and stuff just works.
Yeah. But also the endless checklist of what do you want on, what do you want off? Like there's huge arrays of them.
Exactly. And those are called, like, again, this is not my language. I've heard this called first class settings.
Right.
But then there's all sorts of this sort of like stuff that's ready to be manipulated.
Right.
Like you want to turn off the GPS or you want to kill the control panel. Like maybe those settings, there's no clickety click for it. What are you going to do? That's where it gets hard, my friend.
Right.
At that point, you got to go to the mat and do what's called writing a custom OMA URI. And man alive, I don't envy the guy that has to do that.
Not for the faint of heart, huh?
No. So there's a, you know, it's sort of like two puzzles in one. You have to you have to figure out like, is it the device or is it the user that's getting it? And then you handwrite it. You have to look through the documentation to see which thing it is. And then you have to like do an A-B substitution and double check your work and make sure you've got it all straight. And then bang, you deliver it to the device and you cross your fingers and hope it works. Like, you know, so for me, I would love to see more things enumerated as first class settings as opposed to third class settings. But it's also a good skill to understand what I'm talking about with regards to first and third class settings and get it under your fingertips to know that you can confidently either write a custom OMA URI or ingest an ADMX file, even if like, you know, better support for that is probably on the way.
And, you know, as soon as you said that whole, is this device bound or this is user bound, I'm immediately thinking registry entries for, you know, H machine and for user keys. And it hits me that I have this Windows bias to the way I think of any of these things. And I wonder how much of this is reflected in MDM tools. Certainly it's reflected in group policy. There's a Windows bias there.
Well, that's the thing. At first, there was no Windows BIOS.
Right.
And it's actually a little – there's a little bit of history if you look through the MDM docs. It's sort of like, there's this language that we will really not have Windows-y. And then like, oh, wait, you want to use MDM to manage Windows? Well, we better do some stuff that's a lot like group policy.
Right, right.
So then there's this kind of additionally, added upon functionality that is literally called ADMX enhanced settings that's available for people to click on. So, somebody new to MDM may find that it's a little bit of a challenge to know, like, where do I click on?
Yeah.
Some things are these first class settings. Some things are these third class settings. Some things are these ADMX considered settings. I can see where it can be kind of confusing for somebody out of the gate, which is, again, really why I sat down and wrote the book. I really wanted to do it all the way through end to end so that anybody could say, I think I can do it now.
Does it make sense for third parties to start implementing some of these elements, or is it best to wait for the vendor for the product to do all of those policy pieces?
Well, the thing is that as it sits right now, there isn't really a way for a third party to hook into to MDM particularly. Mm. They can, however, do ADMX stuff, and so they can make a product, Dog Food Maker Pro or whatever it is. I'm just making up a product. If they wanted to have ADMX files that worked in group policy land and ingest those ADMX files in MDM land, that's certainly possible. But when an opportunity isn't there, that is one of the many reasons why some folks will turn to my policy pack tool,
right,
in order to take an existing application that may not have any support. We can take any application and transmogrify it into settings that work in group policy land or MDM, not to mention any existing group policy or group policy preferences setting. We can export that and also transmogrify it into MDM. So this gives somebody who's like landlocked and saying, gosh, if only there was like these three settings, if the MDM team would just give me these three bloody settings, I would be all set. No problem. We got that handled.
Yeah.
We can actually take those settings today and let you do those right now.
Yeah, that's the point of that tool, right? Is it just gives you those additional capabilities that you found the workarounds for.
Yep, for applications, for files, for just about everything.
Yeah, it's true. I keep thinking back to the HoloLens and thinking there's going to be certain policies that are specific to a HoloLens.
Yeah, and you have to go to the documentation and sniff it out. It's
right.
Sort of like, when you're enumerating some class in PowerShell and you're like, oh, here's all the interesting stuff that's there. Well, that's how it works in the documentation too. You sort of have to kind of like think, it's a HoloLens. Let's take a look at what's called XYZ. It's called a CSP. And the CSP is all the stuff you can do on the endpoint.
Right.
So configuration service provider. And so you find in the docs the HoloLens one, and maybe the device doesn't just have one CSP. Maybe it's got 12. Oh, okay. Now it's got 12 CSPs. So then you can sort of start poking around and figure out, okay, my HoloLens can use these attributes across these various CSPs. But of course, it's not going to have anything for Edge. I don't think there's an Edge, browser on HoloLens. Maybe there is. I don't think there is. So the Edge CSP stuff, well, that's going to be invalid, but maybe turning off the GPS or something like that. If I don't know if the HoloLens have a GPS, would be valid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could see, given it does have a GPS, that it's like, hey, in certain rooms, the camera is disabled.
Yeah, exactly right. Geofencing, I think that's called, which is pretty nifty. Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting to think in terms of these more elaborate policies that we're going to end up with as these new devices come into play.
Yeah, you'll group your HoloLenses together based on, what part of the universe they're in and put them in a group and then bang them with a profile, and those settings inside the profile are going to affect them.
Yeah, they're just things you absolutely need to manage. When it comes to sort of the ownership of MDM services, backup, recovery, auditing, like what do the tooling look like for all of the things you need to do to make sure that stuff stays operational?
Well, so the idea is that most of it is going to be Azure roles. And I think that a lot of this is still a work in progress. So, the idea is that Azure is going to have these different kinds of roles. There's global administrator, there's this and that administrator. And I think that they're still fleshing out who can do what based upon user demand. So yeah. I think, unfortunately, to answer that question, I think that's a little bit of a work in progress because they're still, you know, waiting to hear what customers really need. Because I just think like some customers, like I think Azure and MDM at large has a couple of really big champions, a couple of really big customers, but the floodgates I think are relatively low right now. And I think that in the next, you know, several, you know, clicks, it's going to widen up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just more complexity, more diversity and all of that stuff. But it does sound like you sort of have to bet on a vendor or bet on a suite. And, you know, in the book, clearly you've bet on Intune. But there are other solutions.
Yeah, no bets. I think what I say in the book actually, there's the biggest exposed secret is that generally all the MDM providers technically are exactly alike.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because they all push the same MDM switches at the end.
Right. And the underlying protocol is literally common between them.
The protocol is literally common between them. Mm-hmm. Now, there is some differentiation you could do here, and they come in terms of sidecars or add-ons.
Right.
Now, Intune has a sidecar add-on. It lets you do things like run PowerShell scripts and install what's called Win32 software, you know, like winzip.exe slash installer, that kind of stuff.
It's never going to take off, man. It's never going anywhere.
Yeah, right.
That Win32 thing, goodness knows.
And, you know, and Workspace ONE and the other guys also have some sidecars additionally as well. Mm-hmm. So MDM can be differentiated in a couple of ways. Like I said, a vendor can move fast to migrate settings that when Windows drops build 20,016 and 4, you know, whatever that is.
Yep.
Then a whole bunch of new things magically show up in the platform. They rush them into the documentation. That now that documentation's online and the vendors need to spring into action.
Right.
The Intune team is not the MDM team. They need to spring into action too. They need to create first class settings. And so right. does the Workspace ONE team. So does the Mobile Iron team. So does the Citrix CES team. Like they have to like make some choices about how they're going to take these new settings and get them available for people.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's differentiator number one. And then differentiator number two would be, you know, there are some other bells and whistles, which is to be like, you know, is there stuff that the sidecar utilities that they install on Windows devices, is there some magic that they can do between them that can't be done another way?
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you generally want first class controls for all these things so you don't need the sidecars, but where you don't have them, the sidecars are the workarounds.
In a perfect world, everything would be a first class setting and everything that you would need to do would be clickety click click.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's the way that it's gonna go.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, just the cadence of the releases so far just doesn't seem like on, you know, it just seems like there is a lag between things that when they drop, between the time they become first class settings is reasonably wide. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it is a hamper for when people take a look and try to evaluate MDMs and they're like, oh gosh, that setting I heard about on stage, I don't see that in my MDM platform yet of choice. Why is that? And you have to go, well, there's this sort of thing called first class settings. There's third class settings. And then, you know, like you have to like explain that it is sort of available if you know what to do, but it's not available if you want to just clickety click on it right this second.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the span. So what's next for you, friend? Are we going to see you at Ignite?
I will be at Ignite. I am just going to be roaming. My favorite session is the hallway session.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. In fact, my secret tip for Ignite, wait for it, mm-hmm. attend no sessions.
There you go.
Attend no sessions. They're all recorded anyway, yeah. people.
You go to the things that aren't recorded.
Go to things that aren't recorded. So my favorite sessions are the ones that and even those are now recorded, which is to say the ones that are on the floor of the arena with all the vendors and so on.
Yeah.
They didn't used to be recorded. So I used to just hang out there for the whole week. And that pass, if somebody's interested in going to Ignite and buying that pass, it's dirt cheap to just get like the show floor pass.
Yeah, the Expo Hall floor pass.
Yeah, you get the Expo floor pass. And then you can watch all the best of speeches there. They're like 20 or 40 minutes long. Sometimes they're recorded, sometimes they're not. you get easy access to the speakers because they're like 15 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
And then you can just watch everything else in the replay. That's how I do it.
Yeah, no, yeah. And you get to review everything else from there. I'm kind of surprised you don't have a booth.
We have an amazing customer dinner for Policy Pack customers. Oh, nice. I cannot divulge that secret location, but if somebody becomes a Policy Pack customer between now and then, you'll get a personal invitation to that thing.
Nice.
No booth. We are, however, I'll give you an exclusive, worldwide exclusive. We will be doing some of Ignite the Tour.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you can meet and greet me or someone from the PolicyPack team at Ignite the Tour. We're going to be doing Washington D.C. We're going to be doing Chicago, and we're going to be doing Toronto. So those are the three we're going to do.
Jerry Moskowitz, thanks for coming back on the show.
Always super fun. Thanks, my man.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.